Morning once again to everyone, and it's really good to be able to be here this morning as we consider what God has done for us at a time when we're without hope. But shall we consider this morning, please, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9 down to 14. And Paul writes here, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So we have here the family at prayer, and we have a Christian family here at Wilson, just as they did back there in the days in Colossae. So here in Colossians chapter 1, there's a great emphasis on prayer. And saying in verse 3, chapter 1 verse 3, "We give thanks to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always." And then Paul mentions their faith in Christ Jesus and the love of all of the saints. Also the hope that is laid up for them in heaven, verses 5 and 6. And 5 and 6 speaks of the gospel as it is in all the world. So the gospel does not change from one place to the next, or for different people. God's plan is constant. It is still the same gospel today that it was 2,000 years ago. In verse 7 to 8, Paul has mentioned Epaphras has come from Colossae with news of the Colossian church and of their love in the Spirit. So here in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you." So Paul at this stage is apparently in Rome, as you read in the last chapter of Colossians. So I take it that the assembly in Rome is also praying for them, not only just Paul. You would have heard the saying that the family that prays together stays together. So the Lord Jesus was often in prayer, and he gave instructions to his disciples that they should also be constant in prayer. Indeed, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." It is Paul's desire that the beloved at Colossae be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. So let's consider the will of God against our own will. That is, I mean to say, the deep and clear will of God. Our own will or our own plans can often be good plans, but our plans are not always the plans of God. Or perhaps it's not the right time for our plans. God's will for us is for our good, not for our distress. No doubt we all can look back on our lives where we could have done things two or three different ways, but God has guided us in the best direction. I've considered just lately, in the past couple of years, the various things that have happened in my life since before I was a Christian, and the different things that I could have done, or the different people have been brought into my life, and I could have gone different ways. But as I look back, I know it is God has had that plan for me ever since before I was first saved. So coupled with the will of God is all wisdom and spiritual understanding, or perhaps a comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. A very good example of a wise person with godly understanding was Daniel. Another was Joseph. In our day and age, we too have men and women who have spiritual wisdom. I, for one, have been more than one occasion and gone to see Bob Pittman. Mr. Pittman used to be a member here at Wilson. He's down in Albany now, for those who don't know him. But I've gone to him for advice on different occasions, because he is a godly brother and he is filled with wisdom in the things of the Lord. So it is when we surrender our will to the Lord that he will guide us. In verse 10, Paul writes that you walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, and filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that God wants us to walk worthy of the Lord, that is to live and conduct ourselves in a manner that is worthy unto the Lord and fully pleasing unto him. So this world is made up of people of many personalities. Some are easy to get on with, others not so cooperative. Some people like to play jokes on others and on their friends. So jokes and teasing come in various forms. Some indeed are harmless, but sometimes a joke can also be harassment or be unbecoming of a believer. So let us be sure that our conduct is fully pleasing unto the Lord. Then too, our work is to bring forth fruit in every good work, as it says back there in verse 5 and 6. This also refers to the gospel bringing forth fruit for the grace of God. Also, we're to increase in the knowledge of God. The words know, knew, known, knowledge, acknowledge are mentioned 10 times in the four chapters of Colossians. Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So we're to be strengthened with all might, or that we be strengthened and invigorated with all power, that is godly power. When we talk about great strength, we often think, or might think of someone like David going out to do battle against Goliath, or a weightlifter at the Olympic Games, be able to lift great weights, great strength, or the winner of the Tour de France on a bicycle. But strength also comes with faith and character, or believing that God will complete in us what he has started when we're first saved. Let's take note of those who have great strength in their prayer life. But we see also that God's power is also glorious. When the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, the glorious pillar of cloud went before them by day, and the pillar of fire by night was their guide. The glory of the Lord filled the temple so much that the priests could not minister because of the cloud, the glorious cloud of the Lord. So this glorious power, and you have a look at that back in 1 Kings chapter 8. So this same glorious power is present in believers today. The trouble is that our lack of faith in our prayer life or Christian walk often hinders the movement of that same power toward positive outcomes. That glorious power gives or leads to patience and long-suffering, or perseverance and forbearance with joyfulness. So what if, when I'm sick or in pain or I'm discouraged, should I do it patiently and suffer patiently? What would the Lord Jesus do in my situation if I'm sick or discouraged or whatever? We have a look at Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Paul says that we are to give thanks to the Father, not because of anything we have achieved, but rather that because he has qualified us to share in the inheritance that is eternal life of the saints in the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. So it is Christ that shines through the believer. Back to Colossians 1. And verse 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is God the Father, with reference to the previous verse 11. Giving thanks to the Father, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, that is, taken out of the control and dominion of sin. Ephesians 6:12 explains it a little bit different, a bit more fully. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So God has delivered us from the power of sin. And he is, as it says there in 13b, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So it is in Christ that we have been saved. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So John also writes in 1 John verse 9, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we have the assurance of the forgiveness, from the forgiveness of sin. Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. So sin past, present, and future are all dealt with at the cross with the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10. Starting at Hebrews 9:12, the Lord entered once into the holy place with his own blood. And you go down all through chapter 9 and chapter 10, and again in verse 28 of Hebrews 10. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. And now that where remission for these is, there is no more offering for sin. So it is down through chapter 9 and chapter 10 that it says that the Saviour offered himself once and for all. It's six times it's mentioned here. So their iniquities and sins are remembered no more. So that was sufficient. The blood of Jesus Christ. And then we have verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So it's the blood of Jesus Christ which is sufficient. Not of our own doings, not of anything that we understand, but rather what God has prepared for us. There is an example of prayer. Is this Paul's prayer for the Colossians? There's another example of prayer in Acts 12 when Peter was put in prison by Herod, and the plan was to put Peter to death the next day. But the angel of the Lord appeared to Peter in the prison and released him from prison. And it was the prayer of the believers at Jerusalem that Peter would be released. But the problem was they didn't really believe their own prayer. When Peter turned up at the gate of the prayer meeting, they didn't believe that Peter was outside. It must be his ghost. It must be his spirit. And so when we pray, sometimes believers don't really consider the fact that God will answer their prayer. So it is God's desire that our prayer is in faith, or our prayer is accordance to God's will. So it is Paul's prayer that first of all, that the Colossian believers will be filled with godly wisdom and understanding. Second, be fruitful in every good work. Third, increasing in the knowledge of God. Fourth, strengthened with all might in his glory. Fifth, be co-heirs with the saints. Sixth, the Father has delivered us from darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And seventh, we have redemption, forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we have presented the family at prayer. May I encourage each and every one to attend prayer meetings. It may be difficult for some to attend regular prayer meetings because of work or family commitments, but perhaps once a month would be much benefit to and encouragement to everyone at Wilson. I remember when our kids were small, Flora would stay at home with the kids. But now the kids have grown up, Flora comes as often as she can to prayer meetings. So may it be an encouragement to one and all to seek opportunity to be in prayer, corporate prayer, with the beloved, and know that God will answer a faithful prayer. Shall we close? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that we can consider the need of prayer today and giving thanks and praise to a living God, not because of anything we have done, but rather what the Lord Jesus has done in our stead at a time when we were without hope, when we were far from the living God. So we do pray that the Holy Spirit encourage each one today as we consider these things, as we await the Lord's return and take us into glory to be ever in his presence. So we do pray too for your helpers. We consider all these things, and the rest of the day we pray for travelling mercies as everyone goes to their homes until we meet again or the Lord takes us home. These things we do pray in our Saviour's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.